This is the Practical Teaching Tips Podcast. I am your host, Richard James Rogers, high school science and chemistry teacher and author of the award-winning book, The Quick Guide to Classroom Management. Well, hello everybody, and welcome to today's episode on the Practical Teaching Tips podcast. I am your host, Richard James Rogers, and today I'm going to be taking a deep dive into a topic which, of course, was the main focus of my award-winning book, The Quick Guide to Classroom Management. So today, we're going to go through some very useful tips to do with maintaining order in the classroom. Now, I cannot take credit for what you're about to hear today. That goes to Tina Hennessy, who is the head trainer at Destination TEFL's Cambodia Center in Siem Reap, who very kindly wrote an excellent blog post for us all at richardjamesrogers.com. So what I'm going to do today, everybody, is read the blog post to you, and at the end, I will add a little bit of my own commentary. And this blog post is also linked in the episode description. So here we go. The best definition I have found for what classroom management actually means comes from Carol Weinstein and Nancy Schaefer at Oxford Bibliographies, and I quote, "Classroom management can be defined as the actions teachers take to establish and sustain an environment that fosters students' academic achievement as well as their social, emotional, and moral growth. In other words, the goal of classroom management is not order for order's sake, but order for the sake of learning." End quote. When order breaks down in the classroom, student learning is affected and teachers' stress levels, burnout, and anxiety rise, which sometimes leads to teachers making the decision to leave the profession. It is therefore in every teacher's best interest to master the fundamental techniques of effective classroom management. Today, I've invited Tina Hennessy, again head trainer at Destination TEFL's Siem Reap Center in Cambodia, to share her top tips for teachers who want to improve their classroom management skills. And this is what Tina has to say. "I'm not sure if what they say about classroom presence is true or not. Either you've got it or you don't. If you do, it's likely that you won't have too many problems with classroom management, because more than half the battle is won just by your presence in the classroom. Students look up to you. You have complete control over the class because you demand high standards from them. If you need help, here are 5 tips that may assist with classroom management. As with most ailments, prevention is better than cure. Once you've lost their attention, it's harder to rein them back in. Here's how you could prevent problems from cropping up. Number 1, be prepared. Being prepared for your lesson shows in your body language, and this reflects in your delivery of lessons. Conversely, being underprepared shows too. A good plan, a complete set of resources, from working whiteboard markers and flashcards to crib notes, anything you need should be organized and ready for use, without you having to worry about them. As you segue from one stage to the next, your students shouldn't have time for distractions. If, however, your transitions lead to dead time, which is time with your back to the class, you're likely to have bored students who will find something else to do. Number 2, use students' names. Calling out their names ensures they'll do what they need to do, to not be called out for negative reasons. Rather than pointing and saying, "You at the back, please be seated," you will probably turn his or her head and pretend to look at another student and pretend they're not at fault. Using their names will leave no room for doubt. Learning their names also shows that you care, and knowing that their teacher cares will give them more reason to stay engaged. Number 3, limit distractions. This could mean anything from distractions on a student's desk, to visuals in a classroom, to views outside the classroom, to sounds. Try to limit whatever is within your control. Establish classroom routines where students start the class with cleared their desks, or have only what is required on their desks. No extra books, stationery, or even water bottles. If your students have phones, request them to turn off vibrate mode or put their phones inside their bags rather than in their pockets. Number 4. Use non-verbal hand signals. Avoid students calling out aloud to request permission to use the toilet, for example, by having a hand signal for the same. Design similar signals for other circumstances too. When the student gets your attention by doing the signal, a simple nod of your head will grant permission. Rather than him asking you a question and having you answer it, thereby distracting the entire class and possibly diverting your train of thought as well. Number 5, call and response. We know all too well that even at the best of times, you're going to have situations when you've lost their attention. The class is loud and they're bouncing off the walls, and you do actually need to try and rein them in. Here are my favourites. Teacher, yo, yo, yo. Students, yo, what's up? So this is great for middle schoolers, this call and response. Another example, teacher, 1, 2, 3. Students, eyes on me. Teacher, 1, 2. Students, eyes on you. Start the chant and continue till the whole class is responding. The first few times you do this, maybe some students won't join in. Carry on, even if it means you've said it 8 to 10 times, and the rest of the students will egg on the stragglers. And finally, when all else fails and your voice won't work, stand still and silent with your right hand raised over your head. As you make eye contact with the students, they must raise their right hand, stop doing whatever they're doing, and stop speaking. They make eye contact with the others, who must in turn do the same. Think of this as the opposite of a flash mob. Once the entire gathering is quiet, you have their undivided attention. And that concludes Tina Hennessy's excellent, excellent blog post, everybody. I just think that is so good because it's so direct, and they are practical, useful tips that every teacher actually can use, whether you are new to the profession or you're very experienced, like I am, for example. I love the call out routines. I'm definitely going to try those ones. And also the non-verbal hand signals. What a great idea. I've never thought about that before. Normally in my classes, if a student wants to go to the toilet, they will ask me, and I will have a conversation with them. You know, I'll give them permission to go. But when I think about it, there are many situations actually where time could be used more efficiently with the use of these hand signals. If a student wants to ask a question, for example, the most common hand signal is they put their hand up. So why don't we have hand signals for other things, like I want to go to the toilet, I want to see the school nurse, I need help with my homework, I need help with my classwork. You could think of your own hand signals that relate to your particular subject area. So great, great ideas, I think, in that blog post. I like the point about limiting distractions. That's a really good one. That is becoming more and more challenging these days with mobile technology, wearable devices that students have. It's always, distractions have always been a problem for school students. I mean, even when I was in school, before the advent of smartphones, you know, students had Walkmans and Tamagotchi, mobile pets, some of you might remember, and Pogs and trading cards and Pokemon cards and all these kind of things. So there's always been distractions that students have had, always. But I think with mobile technology, many students are just so hooked and so addicted to their mobile devices. And it's really important now that teachers are vigilant and that those distractions are removed from the classroom environment. Of course, use mobile technology where relevant and where you can. But I think it's very important that students know when it is appropriate to use their mobile devices and when they should be listening to the teacher. And most schools have a policy about this. Most schools have a permission system whereby students only use their phones when teachers grant them permission, for example. And of course, number one on Tina's list, be prepared. This is something that I've been writing about for years at my blog for teachers at richardjamesrogers.com, and it's a key feature of my book, The Quick Guide to Classroom Management. Preparation really is the genesis of all good classroom management. That's where it all begins. When we prepare our lessons properly, we have confidence in the classroom, and that's really what good classroom management boils down to. I really loved Tina's point about the body language. I've never really thought about it in the same way as Tina before, but she's totally right. And I'll just read to you what she wrote again. Being prepared for your lesson shows in your body language, and this reflects in the delivery of your lessons. I couldn't agree more with that. When my lessons are well prepared, I've got resources at hand. When I know what my students should be covering, when I have a range of activities planned, my body language and my confidence really reflects the fact that I've prepared very well. And I am able to be more forceful and positive and I guess cooperative and amenable and just more excited about my lesson, more excited about teaching the students when I'm fully prepared. So that is absolutely a key feature of effective classroom management. Now, the way that you plan your lessons is going to very much depend upon your personality and your style. I never recommend that schools force teachers to plan lessons in a certain way. And I have actually worked in a school whereby they wanted teachers to submit lesson plans to senior management on a weekly basis. It was the most horrible, hostile environment. And it really was pointless. It was making teachers do pointless paperwork that actually SLT didn't even check. They just wanted you to hand this stuff in. And it was really awful. This was in China, by the way, many years ago. And I remember I had to do this paperwork, this lesson planning. And I did it, and I handed in this stack of papers, and they were given back to me the next day, and the supervisor hadn't even looked at them. You know, it was just the most disheartening process. Lesson planning has to be a personal, creative process. It has to be personal to each teacher. You're going to plan your lessons in your own way. I plan my lessons in my way. I use a teacher's planner with boxes for each lesson, and I fill in a few sentences. That's all I need to do these days. And that is enough for me to know what's going to happen in that lesson. I don't need to write an A4 page for every lesson. When I was first learning how to teach, that was very useful. When I was doing my teacher training, it was very useful to spend a long time on the lesson planning process because it was new to me. But as you get more experienced, you become more efficient. And I think it's very important that schools allow teachers to have creative freedom when it comes to lesson planning. However, on that note, what I will also say is that lesson planning must never be absent. We must all plan our lessons properly, however you do it, because that really is where, as I mentioned, all good classroom management begins, with good lesson planning. So thank you, Tina, if you're listening, for writing that excellent, excellent blog post. Once again, everybody, Tina Hennessy is the head trainer at Destination TEFL's Siem Reap, I hope I've said that properly, center in Cambodia. Destination TEFL, by the way, is a great company if you want to become TEFL certified. And they have centers in many parts of Asia where you can go and learn these crucial classroom management skills firsthand and get an accredited qualification as well. The best TEFL program in the world, in my opinion. So definitely check those people out if you're interested. I'll put the link to Destination TEFL's website in this blog post description, and in this podcast episode description, I should say. But that's it from me, everybody. So thank you so, so much. I do hope this podcast episode was helpful. If you do have a topic request, you can email me at info@richardjamesrogers.com. Once again, that's info@richardjamesrogers.com. And why not check out my blog for teachers, which contains hundreds of excellent blog posts, just like Tina's that you heard today, about many aspects of teaching, feedback, classroom management, behavior management, active engagement, accelerated learning, cognitive load theory. That there's all kinds of really high quality blog posts over at richardjamesrogers.com containing practical teaching tips, things that you can use in the classroom right away. And it's all for free. It's free information. And that's how it should be, because I want you guys to have the best information so that you can go out and inspire your students. So thank you, everybody. Thanks for listening to that. And I'll be with you again soon with another podcast episode. So bye-bye for now. Until next time, take care.